Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us this morning. Ranch out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Day into night, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a cheer. Lord Jesus, we come before you again today. And we ask, Lord, that anyone who needs to hear these messages, that they will hear them, Lord. That you will open up their understanding and bring it to them. And Lord, we just thank you for being here with us. And for giving us the inspiration, for giving us the strength, and giving us the will, Lord, to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna,
horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become a victory. Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become a victory. The Lord is guiding, I will praise Him, my Father's guiding, I will exalt Him. The Lord is guiding, I will praise Him, my Father's guiding, I will exalt Him. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I'll sing unto the Lord, he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. I will praise Him, my Father's guiding. I will exalt Him, the Lord is guiding. I will praise Him, my Father's guiding. I will exalt Him.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. We made it through that one.
I think that song was appropriate.
I tell you.
Okay. See if we have the right one this time.
We got it.
Look at that.
Praise God.
I know He rescued my soul. His blood covered my sins. I believe. I believe. I share. Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives. I know He rescued my soul. Conquer the grave, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives. You lift my burdens, and I rise with You. I'm dancing on this mountaintop to see Your kingdom.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I know it seems like I spend a lot of time preaching on the same subject. and that is reading the Word. I know in my own life, I can tell every day if I haven't read my Word. If I haven't read it in the morning, my day doesn't go so well, or my attitude isn't very well. And when I read the Word, it doesn't mean things don't go wrong. It's just my whole attitude and how I deal with it is different. And I know with people I disciple, I encourage them almost every time we meet to continue to read the Word. And they have told me that they have found their whole day goes different when they read it and then when they don't. And especially with young children, they handle it better if they read the Word in the morning. And, you know, kids can get to you. But if you read your Word every morning, it gives you that ability to rise above the turmoil that happens. So I want you to look at Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. So the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, do you believe God says? He says he's going to keep his word. He's going to preserve it from this generation forever. Do you trust him? Do you have faith that he really meant that? And to me, that preserved word is the King James Version of the Bible, the 1611 version. That has been with us for over 400 years. And it's not changed. It's been the same. And you look at a lot of these new versions. And, you know, I've checked them out. And one thing I notice in all of the newer versions is they demiracalize the Bible. They take away the divinity of Jesus. I know in a lot of the newer versions, Mark chapter 16, verses 20 on, are removed. And that is saying that the believers, if they are baptized, are going to be saved, and if they aren't believe, if they don't believe, they're going to be damned. But then it gives the signs. It gives the miracles that God performs through his people, and it takes them out. You go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, and right there is the Trinity. And they take that out too. There are a number of books and sections of books and chapters that are not in what they call the most ancient translations. Then if you take out the ones that talk about the miracles, that talk about the Trinity, that talk about the divinity of Jesus, then you need to take those out too, and that would leave us with a very thin Bible, because there are whole books that are not in some of the ancient translations, the ancient manuscripts. So are you going to believe God when he says he's going to preserve his word? Then I recommend you throw all the other versions out and read the King James. I want you to turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. They give you the way to eternal life. But they also tell you about Jesus. And that's just not the New Testament. That's the Old Testament too. I know a couple weeks ago I talked about how Jesus was through the whole Bible, especially he's all in the Old Testament. And you need to spend time reading that. And he was the voice walking in the garden with Adam. He was the fourth man in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's just two examples. He is throughout the Old Testament. He's throughout the New Testament. You will see him through the whole book. But if you don't read it, you're not going to know him. You're not going to be able to have a relationship with him if you don't read his word. And in 2 Timothy 3, starting with 14 through 17, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When this was written, the only scriptures they had were what we have in the Old Testament, and they probably had the prophets, and I know they had the first five books, the books of Moses. But this is all scripture. So everything written in this book is profitable. We can learn our doctrine. We can learn what we need to believe. For reproof, it corrects us. And then it teaches us how to walk in righteousness, in God's righteousness. That we will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we walk with what we read in this book, then we can go out there and do the works of God. If we don't know it, then how do we know what to do? How do we know what to do to be saved? If someone can tell us. But if you don't read it and believe it, then it doesn't mean anything. If you want to learn to walk with the Lord, then you read his word, Old and New Testament. You read it every day. It helps you get through the day, but it feeds your soul. It feeds your spirit. And we have a battle in our soul. Our flesh is constantly trying to tell us to do something not of the Lord, something based on pride. And by feeding our spirit and feeding our soul with the word, we have the ability to stand against the flesh and defeat it. Unfortunately, the flesh will always be with us and it's always going to be a fight. But if we know the word and we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we can keep growing and keep getting stronger every single day, and that we can do the good works of Jesus Christ. You can't give up. You can't decide, oh, I don't feel like reading. No, that's your flesh talking. Don't give in. Take the time to read the word every day. And yes, it's great when a family comes together to read it together. They sit around the table at breakfast or before breakfast or after breakfast, and they read the word together. That is beautiful. But you need to read it yourself. You need to read it by yourself. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said they found, even though they read the Bible with their husband every morning, they found if they did not spend even just a short time reading it by themselves, they had a rough day. Yes, you can just read a chapter a day, and that's going to take you over 3 years to get through the Bible. But at least you're getting the Word in you. Spend time every single day. And take these newer interpretations, I should call them. They're not really translations. And throw them out. I think the one that just offends me more than anything is the one where it's God is no longer just our Father. He's our Father, Mother. Any place where it talks about God, it has he and she. You know, that offends me. God is our Father. He is not our mother. He never meant to be our mother. He is not a he-she. He is our Father. If you got one of those Bibles in your house, burn it. Because it's definitely not what God the Father wants you to be reading. And there's a lot of other versions out there that just totally destroy the Word of God. And you have people out there saying there's contradictions in the Word. Yeah, in those new versions, there are contradictions. But you read the King James, there is no contradiction anywhere in the world. And that was written by 40 men of different backgrounds, different places, different education, and different time periods. And they wrote this, they put these words down, and as Davy has said many times, they were the secretaries that took down God's dictation. And because God dictated it, they wrote down what they heard. There is no contradictions anywhere. And if you think there is, keep reading and you'll find out there isn't a contradiction. So read the Word, study it, meditate on it. And I don't mean going around going, Meditate on the Word. As you're doing your work, think. Bring back to remembrance something you read. And think about it. And God will give you an understanding of it. And yes, sometimes when you read it, you don't understand it. That's okay. Just keep reading it. Because it's feeding your spirit and feeding your soul. And the next time you read it, all of a sudden it seems like, oh my gosh, that's what it means. Sometimes we're not ready to really fully understand what it says. And God knows that. But then one day we are. And then we have a fuller understanding of what the Word's saying. So don't give up reading your Bible every day. It's necessary. If you want to walk with the Lord, if you want to be close to Him and you want to do what He has called you to do, you want to go out there and perform miracles, you want to go out there and share the gospel, the only way you're going to do that is by knowing His Word. And the only way you can know it is by reading it.
We do not
bow our knee to the Prince of the air. Oh, we know the truth has set us free. And under our feet He will shortly be crushed. Having done all this and in victory, making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our hearts are set apart for the cross of the Lord, and we will not be bought or sold.
Praise the Lord. I invite you to check in that Bible, just a little add-on to what Ann said. And if your Bible, when you look into it, tells you to obey the government, not only burn it, shred it, trample it, put it underneath your car and use it for a non-skid or a block, because you're to obey the church. That is where God and Jesus Christ put His power, was into the church, not into the government. Anyhow, that was a side note. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Think about this, and just in your mind, substitute Christians and think about those who call themselves Christians. This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? How many times new Christians accept the Lord? They are full of the Spirit. They are totally open to God's Word. And what happens? Something out there knocks them down. Something takes that Spirit away from them. Something beats them down. Unfortunately, sometimes it's actually in the church where it happens. And if it's in the church where it happens, that church is not of Jesus Christ. And a church can only be to one side or the other. Church can't be, you know, Jesus Christ, partial Jesus Christ, almost Jesus Christ, and Satan's. It's either one or the other. Now, how do you know if these Christians are doing the Word of God? Do you ever notice them witnessing to someone, telling them how they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for them? Do you see them so much as on a street corner giving out information to people, to the homeless, or to anybody else? Do you see those people standing up behind a pulpit giving out God's word? Do you see them heal somebody of a sickness? Do you so much as see them pray when you go into a restaurant? But you turn around and ask them, oh yeah, they're a Christian. Really? Do they really think that? We need all of these so-called Christians to get a reality check. It is time for them to wake up. It is time for them to become part and committed to Jesus Christ. If not, they've made their decision. They may have been at a homeless shelter. Whoopee. They may have worked in a soup kitchen. So what? Oh, wait a minute. That church didn't have to pay a high heating bill this past winter because of all the people warming the pews. They need to get off of those pews. They need to get out of that shelter. They need to stop at the soup kitchen. Unless they are doing it for absolutely no recognition and doing it because they love Jesus Christ. Sitting on a pew, you can sit on a pew in hell. You won't have to warm it. It'll warm for you. It'll be a self-heating pew. The choice is yours. Time is short. Look at the things going on around the world around you right now. Anna pointed out a thing on Facebook where lightning struck the Washington Monument. And people said it was a sign from God that He was angry with the government. No, a sign from God that He is angry with what the Supreme Court did, or President Obama did, or the Congress did, would be a lightning strike that would split the building in half and an earthquake that would swallow it. That would sure settle a few problems in this country, wouldn't it? But the biggest problem in this country is Christians are not standing up for Jesus Christ. To stand up for Jesus Christ, you must do what is in the Word of God. which is present the gospel to every creature, every person that you run into. And if you have to, use words. You say, how can I do that if I don't use words? When you're sitting in a crowded restaurant and your food comes to you and you stop and you pray and you ask God to bless that food. There are people around you that are going to notice that. They're going to see there's something different. If they see that there's something different about you, it may provoke them to ask a question. It may provoke that so-called Christian out there to do the same and not be worried that somebody might look at them, which might embarrass them. You look at the way some of the Christians dress today when they're out there running around in the world. They have more reasons to be embarrassed by what they wear than by giving God thanks for what they receive. There's so many things in this world that are out there and meant to distract. There are so many things that are being programmed into children to take them away and lead them astray and ruin their lives. The biggest thing going on in the schools today is teaching children self-esteem, self-pride, self-sin. In my day in school, trust and making somebody proud of something you achieved, that was to receive esteem. You had to work for it. You had to earn it. Nowadays, they give it out. Imagine if the schools gave out the gospel of Jesus Christ as freely as they give out this garbage. And who runs it? ...99% of the people in this country have no idea who even has anything to do with the educational system. It's a place to get rid of the kids so they can go to work. You know, you hear people say children are the future. You look at the things that the schools are teaching that mommy and mommy are okay, and daddy are good. And oh, you've got to have self-esteem so every kid thinks that he is deserving of what anybody else has or owns. A complete entitlement mentality. If they're the future, this earth is going to be destroyed by them. It will fall. It is falling fast now. But one thing can stop it. Cheryl said it the other night, a revival. Christians getting up, learning the truth of the word and reading the word, as Ann said, and standing up for Jesus Christ and standing up for what is right, standing up for what is true. and doing what the Bible says and spread the Word of God. The Word of God can hold back corruption. It can hold back crime. You ever go into a place and there's 50 churches in one little town? Do you think there's something wrong there? Look at the little town of Fabens over here. They've got about 10 for 2,500 people. They're all over the place. And yet there's stuff that goes on in Fabens every single day. They're not holding back anything. There have been places, there's actually been churches in Fabens that have been broken into. How's that for holding back crime and corruption? Yeah, I think they're in the right place, right? Where they need bars across the doors and windows. What are they afraid of losing? What are they afraid of losing? What is so valuable in that church that it can't be replaced? There is only one thing in the church, and it doesn't matter if somebody breaks in, they can't take it because they won't know what it is. And that's when the people come in together and agree in one accord, and Jesus Christ is in their presence. That cannot be taken away. And you don't have to have a building to do that. You can do it outside under a tree. You can do it out in a field. You can do it on a hilltop. But the time is now, and it needs to be done. So get up. Stop laying around. Stop warming pews. And join the army of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Great.
Thank you for being able to gather in your name, Lord. We thank you for going with us as we walk out into this world. We thank you for being at our sides. We thank you for strengthening us and giving us the courage, Lord, to go forth in your name. And we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.